Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, BPW, shear number 78. That's Bais Panimi shear for women, shear number 78. We're talking about establishing respect. And as I said in the introduction of many of these recent shiurim, that everything, kamat everything, that it has been said about establishing respect, going in the direction when speaking to women to respect their husbands, it's a two-way street. It goes without saying. So when you hear this and it seems like it's one-sided, it's not the case. We established many, many times, especially when we're doing the Panimi women and then Panimi men, talking to each one separately, that they each have a chiyuv to do their inner work. I repeat this a lot because it's something always to remember as one is working on themselves, to realize that, no, we understand that this is an obligation for every human being to respect each other, and in a marriage for the respect and love to be mutual going both ways. But nevertheless, like we mentioned many, many times, a big part of marriage, a big part of improving marriage, is one's own self-work. That when talking to husbands, they have to realize there's a lot of things they have to work on their own midos and character. Work hard to become better people, and therefore, ultimately, when they become better people, they become better husbands. And the same is true with a wife. In order to become a healthy wife, the way Hashem wants you to be, is a lot of inner work. So that, in that vein, and sometimes I may not say this in every single shear, but to always keep this in mind. When you keep this in mind, then the defensiveness goes away. This is a very important thing where a person needs to understand that when a person automatically is called upon looking at themselves in the mirror, it's very easy, and it's not easy, rather, it's very hard to accept responsibility, especially if the other party is not perfect and has a lot to improve themselves. In other words, normally we say that, right? Shite, you know, fix your own wagon. What do you, you know, fix your stuff and then don't worry about my stuff. But no, every person has to fix their own stuff. And so that is what it is. So another thing is that a wife trying to refrain from publicly embarrassing her husband is not to negotiate in front of others regarding conversations that are controversial. If a conversation comes up in a car ride where a couple is talking and they have people in the back and they're discussing certain things, it's not appropriate. Or by the Shabbos table and there's other people there, or by a simcha, or let's say it's one of those family simchas where there is family seating. So you have a husband and wife and other relatives on the same table. It's not appropriate to have public discussions with your husband about which schools they should attend, whether you could afford a new car. These public moments when you do this creates a way to open up a Pandora's box to create criticism here. You know, and you could come out of your mouth things like, we always fight about money. My husband, he spends too much, or he's so carg, he's so like every penny like goes overboard. These things are very, very harmful. Or if a husband says, you know, maybe in the summer we're thinking about renting this thing for a house for 2 weeks, and when the wife hears this, and she hears this, the wise decision is simply to say, interesting idea, we'll talk about it, Met Hashem, we'll talk about it, you know, a later time we'll talk about it, but it's an interesting idea. That's what she should say, like deflect it, but not to attack it, you know, how could you mention this, it doesn't make any sense, and da-da-da-da-da-da. In other words, this is can't be, and it's not necessary to be a public display, right? Or in front of Shabbos guests, the husband tells the wife. Now, the husband has to use his common sense, too. He shouldn't bring these things up, obviously. But if he already did, And he says in front of all the Shabbos guests, you know, maybe the kids let them stay up a little later, and da-da-da-da, whatever it is. And the wife wisely should say, okay, let's see how things go. Just switch the conversation over. But for her to start saying in front of Shabbos guests, you know, you're too lenient with the kids, they're not disciplined enough, and this is not the way to do it. This is something that you don't have. You don't have these discussions. The husband has to have the common sense not to bring up these discussions of important decisions in front of other people. Something that you have a right to say, you know, you don't want me to talk about these things. It's best you don't even bring them up. Wait till the guests leave and we can bring it up privately. 100%. So a husband should use that common sense and not bring up these topics. But if he already brought up these topics to deflect it, say, we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it once the guests are you know, whatever it is, deflect it. But don't start berabim causing this disagreement, because what happens is then the husband will indeed feel distant from his wife, because it's causing him extreme amount of discomfort, because it's difficult to discuss sensitive issues and differences of opinions and major decisions in front of other people. It's embarrassing. They feel embarrassed when it's heard by others. So all these type of negotiations must be kept private. Again, it's ideal that the husband doesn't mention it at all, but if he does, to deflect it and not discuss it, then say, we'll talk, nice idea, interesting, we'll talk about it later, and that'll be the end of that. The other way around also, the wife should be careful not to open up these subjects in front of people in a car ride, whether the people in the back or by a Shabbos table. Don't bring up these family decisions that need negotiation and discussion in front of the Shabbos guests. Another thing that's also very important is the subject of relatives. It's very, very sensitive discussions, you know, in the context of, let's say, making arrangements, whether to visit for them or help them, and so on and so forth. The key is for a husband and wife to always remember, a person is not responsible for the midos, the traits of their relatives. It's not fair to accuse a husband for having the same fault as their father, their brother. Like, you know, it's an easy thing to say. The wife would say, oh, my husband's just as stingy as his father, or he's just as rude as his brother. Because what happens is there's major problems with making such statements. First of all, you're labeling and you're judging. Very often you're exaggerating. You look clear in the Chafetz Chaim when he talks about it, that that's human nature to do that, and you personalize it, and then you compare it, which all of these things we're going to discuss later, Be'ezus Hashem. But this idea of mentioning bad character traits of your husband is destructive enough in and of itself, and you have to learn how to do that. But to add on and mentioning the character of his father, of his sister, and so on and so forth, is Lashon Hara. It's usur to speak Lashon Hara, and it's Einos Devarim too, about relatives, including parents, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins. Let's say your father-in-law is a stingy person. It's a Lashon Hara to mention this. It's usur. On the basis of that alone, it's usur. If there's a tayeles of talking about it, and in some situations there are sensitivity, where if a wife feels there's a certain toxicity in that, in, you know, we're invited over and we want to limit it or use a seichel of when to go over Shabbos, you know, to stay over and to do it with a seichel. So then that's a constructive conversation to have. And sometimes you have to talk it over with a rav and someone else, whatever it is. But stamazay, what people do though very often, this is taka something with, in general, by the way, just generally speaking, each one, husband and wife, they're not as comfortable usually in their in-laws' house than they are in their own parents' house. So they need to sort of work through it, realize no one's perfect, and deal with it, but in a healthy balance, and you work that out. But what happens very often is even when that's not in play, there's no discussion about right now when we were invited for Shabbos, should we go, how often should we go. That's not the discussion even. People just simply talk when they're arguing, when they're disagreeing, or the wife is upset at the husband for a particular thing, a negative meter that bothers a wife about the husband, so he'll get a double put down. In other words, you're knocking him for his own issue, and then you're knocking him because he's from this family. Your father's like this, your sister's like this, your mother's like this. So you're like doubling up. It's enough when necessary. If something indeed needs to be corrected, we talked about it in other shiurim, how to do it in a healthy, normal way. So of course, you have to learn how to do this in a healthy, normal way, but always in pertaining to the behavior itself of your spouse, not to add and tag on that you're just as nuts as your family or something like that. It's just not zero productivity in doing that, only harmful. Only harmful. So therefore, yes, you could be upset about something, but once the anger goes down, the pain of those insults that you threw at him erodes the marriage, erodes the respect that he would have for you in the marriage. Lashon Hara hurts a wife, a husband, and all the relatives. It needs to be avoided in all negotiations. You talk about the subject matter itself, and if it's between a husband and a wife, certain character things, there are places to do that. So that's the idea. For example, a wife, she should not say, you know, every time we leave your parents' house, you start acting like your father, like either that he acts cold or aloof, or he acts like a little nuts, and I don't like that. That's not the right thing to say. The more right thing to say is, if you feel you need to say something, is, I noticed you're a little tense after you leave your parents' house. You know, did you notice that? Let's talk about it. You know, something like more like that. You don't say, for example, you're emotionally cold just like the rest of your family. You're a bunch of cold freezer type people with no emotion. You don't show affection. Your whole family is like that. And I should have noticed this before I married you. You don't know. That's not the way you say that. The way you say that is, in a constructive, calm way, is, I need from you to more affection, more feelings of affection. Maybe I'm insecure, but the bottom line is, I need this. So, in other words, in the first case where you say you're just as cold as the rest of your family, basically what you did is you resorted to Lashon Hara about relatives. And the tone of the way you say it also could invite a fight instead of being helpful. When you allude to her husband, your husband, about a negative midah of his father, you're adding provocation. You're provoking him. There's no constructive purpose for it. It just adds destructive overtones. You're basically saying you're nuts like your family, and you're not negotiating in a respectful way by mentioning relatives. However, you do have a right to make a sincere statement of what's bothering you if it's an ongoing thing. If your husband is, let's say, less expressive, and let's say the whole family is less expressive, you know, they don't show emotion as much, and you need it more from your husband, so then you could have respectful negotiations and discussions from your husband. You don't hide it beneath the rug. If it's an ongoing thing, then it needs to be discussed. And they could even go, let's talk to a Rav about it. Let's talk through about it. I need more warmth from you. This is something I need to say more. I love you, or thank you, or you look nice, or whatever it is. And you could bring that up. There's no issue with that whatsoever in a healthy, respectful way. But to antagonize him by making nasty remarks about his family only creates conflicts, only creates ill feelings. Nothing could be gained from that. You will not improve the situation this way. And again, like we said, it's a two-way street with this, but it's extremely important to do this. You don't bring in the kitchen sink with everything else. And again, you basically deal with the issue at hand. Don't bring in 10 million other things, and don't bring in relatives into the whole picture. We don't have bechira of who we were born into. And some midas are naturally this way or that way in a family. But again, Everyone has Bechira, they could work on their own Midas. There's no reason to bring these things up. It's only hurtful. So the two things we learned today is not to negotiate in front of others, whether taking a car ride with them or by a family simcha or by a Shabbos guest. You don't bring up these discussions about things that go on in the house, causes a lot of discomfort. You deal with that later, and not to bring up relatives when you are dealing with issues between each other. You learn how to talk to each other in isolating it to the simple interactions between a husband and wife themselves, and not bring in family members in a negative way. Bracha natzlacha.